And so, Heavenly Father, we come again in the matchless name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. We are deeply grateful again for this great honor, this wonderful privilege to share this compressed wisdom of the Almighty God. We recognize in ourselves we cannot do it because of our human limitations, the limitations of the human mind, both to declare as well as to receive this word as we ought. So once again, Father, we come to humble ourselves. I ask in particular for mercy for myself. I humble myself and ask for mercy to be faithful, a faithful steward of this word. And I willingly strip myself of every confidence, any confidence I might have in myself, my ability, all I prepared. All that doesn't matter now. Lord, I beseech you for mercy to be faithful. And this word will go forth as a river of life. You will cause there to be a free course from you through me to the people. So I will not speak from myself, but only speak that which you have me speak, saying only that which is necessary, redeeming the time, Lord God, that as I speak, Lord, let the power and the presence of God go forth to fill the air, breaking every yoke, meeting every need. Let your power follow this word wherever it is heard, all over the earth. Lord, causing men not to be hearers only, but to be doers of the things which they will receive as a result of this word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because I speak, your power will break every yoke, meet every need, cause our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of your word, our wills to be more humble, submitted to your will, O God, and our emotions to be tempered even more, controlled by the precious fruit of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, especially the power of love. And as I speak, Lord, help me to be concise, to be precise. I ask, Lord, for mercy to duck under the anointing of my fathers. I humble myself under them, and I take upon me their mantles. Help me, Lord, to bring forth this word, Lord, as they would were they hear themselves. And as I speak, let this word go forth as a river of life, a river of refreshing, to enlighten minds, to, Lord, cause our eyes, Lord, to be more acceptable, receptive to the light of God, so there will be no occasion of stumbling in us, in Jesus' name. Let this word be refreshing to all that hear it, but especially to my fathers, as they hear, as they eat and drink of this vine, they'll be satisfied with all the travail of their souls. And we thank you, Father, because you are faithful. You will not lie to David. You will not alter the covenant that has gone forth out of your mouth concerning us. We give you all the glory, praise, and honor, our God. In Jesus' name we pray. And those who believe it say, amen. Amen. It's important as we study to open our hearts and to see what God did. The Bible talks about the glory of the latter house being greater than the former. But we still have to go out and look at the glory of the former to see what God is about to break out upon the latter house. Amen? So we can align our wills and our faith with what God is about to do. In our last verse, Bible study, we were in Acts chapter 4. We concluded chapter 4 and moved into chapter 5, where we saw in chapter 4 towards the end the unity of spirit, the enabling environment created by the unity of the spirit, which the apostles and the brethren had, that caused several things, three things in particular. One, an unprecedented outpouring of acts of divine love, where people were selling their things and using the money to take care of people who had none. The Bible talks about a community of possessions. This is not communism. This is a community of possessions. And then secondly, a breaking out of miracles done through the apostles. And this, the Bible says, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, great grace was upon them all. All there means all them, apostles and the brethren. Amen. A remark at that time, it says, great grace comes through great humility. We saw that humility, everybody selling their goods, those who had, to look after those who did, and all them being subject one to another in the fear of the Lord. Excuse me. And we said, great grace comes through great humility, and that's what resulted in the great power that we saw as the apostles gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also quoted, where was it now? Yes, we said this was very important, very instructive for us in this current dispensation, and that if they did it, the glory of the former house, we too in this latter house will do the same. We quoted John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, where it says that we should love in faith and in deed and in truth. It says, whosoever sees his brother have a need and doesn't supply it, says, how dwelleth the love of God in him? We also said that the power of God came from the unity in the hearts and the souls of the people. Unity is like the anointing, we said. And so, we also saw towards the end, one person by the name of Barnabas. We saw how well he started. We said, though he started well by doing all these things, being in unity with the brethren around, sadly, unfortunately, he did not finish well. We know what happened to him. He moved out of destiny by allowing offense. We're talking a bit more about that today by the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He allowed offense to take away from his partnership, his divinely instituted partnership with Paul because of offense. Amen. And then we now moved into chapter 5 where we saw Ananias and Sapphira. We said so much about Ananias and Sapphira that day. The Spirit of the Lord killed them. Amen. It was God that killed them. Everybody silent. God killed them. That's what happened. Because they were in hypocrisy, they were in lies, they were trying to be what they were not, and they did not recognize that the season had changed. There was a new season. You see, they were sensitive in the spirit. And because they weren't sensitive in the spirit, they thought, well, we can do it like we used to do. Like we said that day, this wasn't the first time they tried to lie. This wasn't the first time they tried to 419. It just happened to be the time that God decided to move in judgment because a new standard had been set. Amen? Was a spirit that killed. They sold land. They wanted to be like Barnabas and all the others who are getting accolades for having done, you know, these good things. Amen. And so they too brought their own. They took back part of the price. They just bought some and tried to act like they brought everything they got for it. And God killed that. First of all, God killed Ananias. Then gave Sapphira 3 hours before she came in. And God gave her exactly the same chance. And she also failed. Folks, what am I saying? Glory and sin do not mix at all. One of them is going to extinguish. It is not glory. And so we need to be very careful. In this day particularly, even the wife was given a chance. But because they both had the same dishonesty of character, both of them perished. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. But we have to preach it. Amen? This is not a day for hypocrisy. Anything, now thank God, wife, submit to your husband. But anything that resembles hypocrisy, anything that resembles lies, not in this day. The season has changed. Please be careful. Amen? Amen. Oh, everybody's looking at me funny. Okay, all right. Well, we'll move on. Like Pastor said, and I want to repeat that before we go on. Pastor said, God is going to have his church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, or any such thing. It's going to happen. Now, the question is, will you be part of it? You'll be part of it in Jesus' name. But you see, God is going to remove every spot, no matter where he finds it. If you hold on to the spot, God forbid, though, God may be forced to remove you with the spot. That's what happens to Ananias and Sapphira. It will not happen to you in Jesus' name. And the Bible says, these things are written for our... Say it now. Be admonished. Okay, let's go on. Everybody's looking at me funny. We understand the Bible says we begin with Ananias and Sapphira. Well, it's God. Amen. God is bringing us into great things. Great things. And he's not going to allow sin, lies, hypocrisy, anything to hinder what he's going to do. Amen. All right. Okay, let's go now to Acts chapter 5. We stopped in chapter 5, verse 11 thereabout. Let's just start from there. Acts 5, 11. All right. Are we there? Are we together? Amen. And so let's read together. And great fear. Great fear. Not small fear. Great fear. Came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. This is amazing. Do you know what this means? What it means is that the fear was not just upon the members of the church. As many as heard. Those who were outside the church were not even in this company. When they heard it, what happened? Say, fear fell upon them all. So the fear spread from inside the church to all around. That's what happened. The fear of the Lord is a good thing. Anyway, let's read now. I'll come back to this. And the fear, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord. That's the baseline for everything. In Solomon's porch, verse 13. And of the rest, doth no man join himself to them, but the people magnify them. And believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch, oh glory to God, that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least, this is glorious, the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. I'll come back to that. Help me, Lord. There came also a multitude out of the cities, round about to Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and they which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Some of them. Boy, this is the glory of the reformer house. Anyway, let's back up. Let's go all the way to the end. Help me, Lord. Now, we see an amazing thing, like I said here. The judgment of Ananias brought fear not only upon the church, but upon those who are outside the church who heard these things. And I said, the fear of the Lord is a good thing. The Bible says, Psalms 19, says the fear of the Lord is what? Clean. Converting the soul. I believe that's what it says. Amen. So the fear of the Lord is clean. In the NIV, it says it's a pure. It's not a morbid kind of fear. It's a fear of ha. It's a reverential kind of fear that you say, ah. Maybe I should be very careful. And that's exactly what it's intended to do. You're not fear that God's going to strike you dead. And you know, God doesn't do things like that. But you see, this Ananias and Sapphira treatment showed everybody that God was there and he was in control. And he was watching. He's not a God that is forgotten. His eyes behold all the doings of the sons of men. And when necessary, and if he feels necessary, any time he will intervene and bring judgment or bring blessing. So the fear of the Lord was to get people to align with what God was doing, not to scare them. Well, if you scare them away from hell, so be it. But the essence was not to bring a morbid fear, a fear of respect, a fear of, the Bible says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. That's what the fear of the Lord that we're talking about came upon them. So, by the fear of the men depart from evil, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is also the beginning of wisdom. When you fear God, you will know what is wise and what is not. You will not do things by just anyhow. You're going to be walking like Pastor Papa Rav, you say, like a barefoot priest. Because you don't want anything to happen. You walk in the fear of the Lord. Yes, yeah, by the fear of the Lord, men depart. So this fear is a good thing. And guess what? No fear, no wisdom. Now you will understand why there's so little of the wisdom of the Lord in the church today. Everybody just doing what they want. But this is going to change. In this day, the fear of the Lord is going to reverse all that nonsense. But that's the way there are no kings in the land. Everybody do what they want. But God is raising up kings. Davidic kings. Sins are the kings of the tabernacle of David. Amen. And so this fear returned and will bring the glory. The glory will bring the return of the fear of the Lord. And it will be even greater in this latter day church than it was in the former church. Amen. That says the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. Greater glory, greater judgment. Amen. Amen. Because to whom much is given, much is required. We have 2,000 years of revelation knowledge with us. So this is it. So this is what's happened. But what's happened now is that God is now raising, like I said, a standard that he can use to judge the people. Amen? And that standard is you and I. But you know what? The good thing about this is that in spite of the severe judgment upon Ananias and Sapphira, the Bible talks about the goodness and the severity of God. This judgment was severe. In spite of that, though, the resulting effect was that, number one, the fear of the Lord fell upon people. And number two, even many more signs and wonders. The Bible says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, even in spite of the great fear. So, you see, the fear wasn't a bad thing. The fear was getting ready to straighten up so that God could do what he wanted to do through the apostles and demonstrate his power and manifold wisdom through them. Amen? Folks, the fear of the Lord must return to our church. I'm not saying about our church. I'm talking about the latter-day church, this church of this season and time. But like I said, many more signs and wonders were wrought by the apostles. And the people, that's the people magnified. And no man, I love that, no man dared to join himself to them. Ah, unless you are fire. You're not going to stand in the fireplace. It's true. And that's what's going to happen. In this day, this fear, this reverence of men of God must come back. In those days, prophets were reverent, they were feared. If a prophet came to your house in the early morning, the whole house will be shaking. I know when Samuel came to, what's David's father's name? Jesse's house in the morning. When he came to anoint David, said, come, let's dump. The whole house was in diggy, diggy, diggy. A whole prophet came to my house in the morning. Oh, gosh, it goes, you. Is everything all right? Samuel said, no, I've come to sacrifice. Yeah. That's why in those days, a prophet, Elijah would say, go and tell them that there's a prophet in Israel. How many of our prophets can say that today? Where are the prophets, folks? It's all the prophets. a new season has come. What God is going to do in this day and this hour? Hey! This is it, though. You know, it's coming back. You know, I remember, I think it's in Isaiah. Give me Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59, 61. Yes, Isaiah 61, where it says, God, men shall call you the ministers of our God. 61, find that place for me. Where we're talking, I think it was the beginning of this year, or last year. Let me see. I got it written down here. Isaiah 61, verse 5 and 6. Yes. 5. Yeah, what it says. This is what's coming back. And strangers shall stand and feed, talking about, you know, the planting of the people that, you know, that God is raising up on Zion, the planting of the Lord, the ministers and prophets that are coming up at this time. It says, strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Next verse, I think. Yes. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Now, that priest is not small p. It's a capitalized P. When you capitalize in the Bible, it's talking about divinity. Like the Son, like the Father, like the Spirit. That P is saying that these priests are divine. And they recognize it. You shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call it, look at capital M. Ministers of our God. You shall, there'll be such a fear and a holy reverence. Right now, they just think most of us are nuisances, you know. Many of us are compromised. Many say many of us. I'm telling you, many of the leaders of the present-day church are compromised. They go to people, tap in hand, asking for money, asking for handout. Do you think they're going to respect you? But if you come in the power of the glory of God, and they know who you are, hallelujah. Like when those prophets will come in those days, they will say, ah, okay, welcome. Please, take the place of realness. I hope everything is okay. What are you here for? The whole town be shaking. It's coming back. Oh, it's coming back, folks. So these apostles, and we see these apostles, they couldn't go and talk to them. They couldn't go and join themselves. They just left them by themselves. Because you see, if you want to join fire, you yourself must be fire. You'll be fire in Jesus' name. Oh, I remember the guys, simply like Smith Wigglesworth. I mean, those were men. Ah, the Davids are coming back in Jesus' name. Slaves will arise on Mount Zion. Reverence will be restored to the church leadership. Amen. Reverence for the church should be restored. Now, let's go back. Acts chapter 5 again. So, now, another effect. We're talking about what happened when this judgment of Ananias and Sapphira came down. It brought fear upon the church. And then more miracles and signs and wonders came. Because it sounds like a paradox. You know, somebody was killed because he didn't do the right thing. And instead of everything going down, everything got started getting better and better. Which means that, if those people were still there, they were a cog in the wheel of what God wanted to do. Because of their heart condition. You know what I'm saying? When those hearts were removed from the body, more power came. The fear of the Lord returned. There was a realignment into godliness and the things of God. Just two people. Hey, only Achan, only one Achan caused Israel, the whole of Israel, to come under a curse. How many remember? Achan. In the promised land, God said you will not touch anything in the promised land. Everything is to be given to God to serve him. When he died, he said he desired one Babylonish, that's the problem with Babylon, that's in Babylon, one Babylonish piece of garment. And he took it and hid it for himself. And he defiled the entire nation. One heart out of sync. Can you see where God is taking us? And it wasn't until that heart was removed and judged and expunged that they started getting their victory again. These are serious matters. Everybody went silent. Don't worry, it's a good thing. The fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord is pure. Okay. So, another thing that happened was that, there was another thing. Yes. Another effect was that believers more added. Can you imagine? These are the same people that heard that somebody was killed. And instead of running away, they ran too. It sounds like a paradox. It says more believers. What it says in verse 14, I believe. Yes. And believers were the more added to them. Men and women, in so much that they brought into the streets, the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, so that at the least The shadow of Peter. But it wasn't the shadow of Peter. It was the Holy Spirit that overshadowed Peter, overshadowing them through Peter. He said, the power of the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the Holy Ghost shall overshadow you. And that holy thing that shall be brought forth shall be called the Son of God. It wasn't Peter. Peter was carrying the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit upon him. So as he was walking along the street, this is great. Folks, we're talking about former household. Can you imagine what God is going to do in the glory of the latter house? It's mind-boggling. It's almost unbelievable. Like this, I mean, we believe it, but I mean, it's like, can these things be so? Yes. So as he was walking by, people were getting here. And they came, it says, it came also a multitude. Multitude is multitude. There's no other way to describe it. Multitude out of cities round about to Jerusalem. They were bringing sick folks. And then they were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Give the Lord a clap of your praise. Folks, I'm telling you, what is coming is so great. Talk about revival breaking out. Hey, the last time this kind of thing happened was in the ministry of Jesus. How do you remember? Give me Matthew chapter 4. Help you, Lord. Matthew 4. Are we getting something out of this? Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Glory to God. Yeah. And the Lord Jesus, and Jesus went about Galilee, teaching their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Next verse. And his fame went throughout all Syria. Stop there. The word of the Lord got to Syria. Yeah, you see that? He said, the Bible says, Jesus was famous in Syria. Hello, somebody. If you look at Syria today, you will think that can never have been so. But you know that is going to happen again. The name of the Lord will be feared and will be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same in this day, even in Syria. Hello, especially in Syria. Especially in the Middle East. God rules in the affairs of men. All these jokers that seem to want to set up a dominion for themselves. All power belongs to God. And guess what? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he gives it to whosoever he will, not who you will. You can't take it. It's because the church is still not what it's supposed to be, but we're going to take it back. Syria will bow. Syria will bow. Iran will bow. Iraq will bow. All those countries, they're bred for us. Everybody, only 2% said amen. Nobody wants to go to Afghanistan. You will go. Hallelujah. Hey, guess what? Something just flashed to me, Pastor Wally. You will go. You know how you go. Everybody's looking. No, I'm not talking to Pastor Wally alone. Pastor, I didn't see you out for Afghanistan mission. But you know how you can go? Every week. On your knees. That's you go. You know what? If you don't go that way first, you will not go with your feet. That's right. That's how to go. You start going by getting on your knees and praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. That's what the Lord told me years ago. He said, you pray, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth. I said, yes, sir. Almost what, 10 years, 15 years, something like that now. That's how you go. So I know I'm going. Every time I pray, I'm going. And then one day, I will actually go there physically. And I go and see what the Lord has done. And what the Lord will do, even greater things. Amen. I have a passion for mission. Amen. But look what I'm saying. Since that his fame went throughout all Syria, help the Lord. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers. It didn't matter what disease was. Didn't matter what was going on. And torments, and those who were possessed with devils, those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, was given a catalog of the kind of ailments that they brought. And he healed them. Next verse. Next verse. Is there a next verse? Yes. There's a verse 25. Yeah. Thank you. And they followed in great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond. They came from everywhere all around. And he healed just like these people here. They followed him, all kinds of people. And the Bible says, also, give me Luke chapter 6 also. I want us to see that. Luke 6 verse 17. We're talking about the same thing between in the arrival of the Lord Jesus when he started his ministry was going on when these people started in Acts of the Apostles. So he came down with them, stood in the plain, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to him to be healed of their diseases. Next verse. And they that were vexed with unclean, and they were healed. Amen. Bible says in verse 19. Yeah, give me verse 19. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for they were virtue. This is where I'm going. Virtue out of him and healed them all. Oh boy. These things are not there for decoration. These things are not there because, you know, the Holy Spirit just decided to write a story. They are there to tell you these are the things that Jesus did that you will do. And greater. Give the Lord a clap up in somebody. Says virtue went out and healed them. Oh. Of course, we know this is not the earnest of the Spirit that they were given, the apostles were given on the day of Pentecost. This is the power of the fullness of the measure upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The full measure of the Spirit acting through them to demonstrate with signs and wonders the fact that the Lord was working in and through them and with them. Amen. But the essence is, this is exactly the same thing. The shadow of Peter was healing. Virtue was going forth and healing them from Jesus. And the same thing was happening this time. They were coming from all over to come and put their sick in the streets. Oh boy, we haven't seen revival yet, though. All these, when I see all these posters, you know, resurgence, revival, revival, revival. That's not revival. This is revival. When they start coming from Lagos, start coming from Benin, start coming from Abuja, I was in Abuja yesterday, start coming from Kano. Start coming from Dahomey. What they call Dahomey now? Benin Republic. Coming from Togo. Coming from Cameroon. To come here. To come and get healed. Then you know you have revival. And God says he healed them all. Anything that came was healed. Ah, folks. This is great. But the point is here is that all this that happened in the book of Acts was written for our admonition. And this is the glory of the former house. So in this imminent dispensation, we're not going to do only just these works. We're going to do the works of the former house. Then we'll do the works of the Lord himself. And like I said, mind-boggling but true. We will now do the greater works, greater both in scope, greater in magnitude. And guess what? Your faith and my faith cannot accomplish it. Only God's faith can do it. Amen. So what must we do? Well, first of all, we need to determine our hearts. Folks, nothing is worth it all if you don't get into this glory, the Spirit without measure. First of all, by the body of anointing, we know, but the essence is this should be the overarching, the most passionate desire of our lives. This is where God wants us to be. So we need to determine that whatever it takes, we'll do it. No flesh, God forbid flesh, no occasion of stumbling. No flesh, no offense, no hypocrisy, nothing will hinder you. Nothing will hinder us, will hinder me in Jesus' name. Say, nothing will hinder me in Jesus' name from participating in this manifestation of the glory and the fullness of the Spirit without measure. That is coming. Amen. So, you have to concentrate and do the things. That is right. You know, God is not a hard taskmaster. What does he ask us to do that we cannot do? Just to apply the blood. Release the blood, apply it. Use the word, the blood, and the Spirit to perfect the love of God, and he'll take care of everything else. It's so simple. So why is it that many do not do it? Or many do not do it with the efficiency and effectiveness that we ought to? An enemy has done this one. God has not asked us to do anything we cannot do. He will never do that. The Bible says, like we're learning on last Sunday, says he has not given us anything that will tempt us about what we are able to bear. So, in spite of persecution, in spite of affliction, whatever it is that comes, put it aside. Let's lay aside all these things and focus upon this. It says, one thing is needful. Martha has chosen that. To sit at the feet of God, hear the word of God, and do it. And work out our own salvation. Use the blood, the word, and the Spirit. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So, that place that God has reserved for you. My pastor was saying last Sunday, he said, there's no other time of life, of existence so far that I'd rather be alive. This is the hour to be alive. This is the day of glory. This is the season that all the prophets and apostles up till now have been prophesying. And we are smack in the middle of it. Ah, There's nowhere else I'd rather be. No Cocoa Beach. Cocoa Beach. No New York City. Met somebody on Abuja yesterday. He was off to New York City. I said, ah, you're going to have a good time, but don't forget that God deal. I said, ah, no, there's no, ah, I will go to church. I will go to, I said, in New York City? Okay. God will have mercy. I have been there, done that. Slept for 4 years next to a church. Didn't even visit once. But I didn't know God then. I didn't know God then. You know? Nowhere else. I mean, can you imagine, Pastor Wally? One is in New York City and God is moving in glory here. Chairman, how do you say it? Not in the, not me. I throw that way, that one behind me. Amen. The Bible says, eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. Hallelujah. Hello, somebody. The Bible says, your light affliction. It's a light affliction. What is that? What has God asked us to do? Nothing, really. Just deny yourself a little. Make sure you get up in the morning, pray, speak the word of the Lord, read the word of the Lord, charge yourself up and go out and perform and do what he wants. No big deal. The more I think about it, the more I say to myself, some of us are very spoiled. I say us, I didn't say you. You know, I counted myself there, so it's part of me too. So we're all together, but we will prevail. God will have mercy on us. Because he must do these things. So, but you need to make up your mind. One thing I know is that the Bible says the man thinking in his heart, so is it. What you decide in your mind is what God will latch onto. And all those infirmities, all those difficulties, all those little niggling, you know, foxes that try to spoil the vine, over time, God will root out every one of them. So you will be able to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. The zeal of the Lord shall perform it. Because he has promised that he will not leave you, he will not forsake you until he perfects all that concerns you and I. In the name of Jesus. You will make it! Alright, let's see how many minutes we go. Let's see if we can finish this. Let's go back to Acts chapter 5 now. Hello, somebody. Lord, glory, have mercy. Now, Acts chapter 5. So, there came a multitude and he healed them, everyone. Now, look at this. This is another counter-attack. I've always said, whenever God is moving, Satan will counter. He will always come back. Now, verse 17. Then the high priest rose up. And that's what they will do. And all they that were with him, which were the sect of the Sadducees, who were Sadducees because they could not see. Oh, Lord, Sadducees. What a funny name. And were filled with indignation. My Bible says envy. Call it a spade a spade. His envy. Their influence was waning. And the apostles' influence was increasing. Just like the house of Saul is waning now. So they rose up. Started to use authority. And they laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But, hallelujah. But, the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Amen. Woo! When I read that, my heart just leapt. No, they can't put you in prison. They cannot put, thank you, sir. They cannot bind you because the word of God is in you. And the word of the Lord cannot be bound. So no boundaries can hold you. Bible says the angel of the Lord came by night and he brought them out of the prison. Every prison you may have been built by the devil, because that word is in you. And that word will grow. That word will increase. And that word will prevail. And the Lord will bring you out of every prison in the name of Jesus. You're not going to be bound because the word of the Lord is in you. Amen. Amen. But let's look at this high priest. This high priest, they decided they were going to retaliate. You know, they tried it in Acts chapter 4. That time they succeeded. They took the apostles, Peter and John, and they put them in prison overnight. This time, not so. God even let one night pass. They put them in prison again, thinking, hey, just like we did the last time. But this time, God was sending a message, but you did it last time, I didn't say anything. This time, oh, send an angel of the Lord. I know what happens. It says, you know, the entrance table, it says, Okay, let's read it first and then go back. Verse 21. And then when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. These guys were coming straight from the prison. They went straight to the temple to teach. Talk about diligence. And taught. But the high priest came and they that... This is so funny. I find this so funny. The high priest came and they that were with him, all of his supporters. They called the council together, Sanhedrin, and all the senators of the children of Israel. And then they sent to the prison to have them brought. Verse 22. But when the officers came and found them not in prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing outside before the doors. But when we had opened with lock, with key, we found no man within. Give the Lord a clap, somebody. God has a sense of humor. You know what happened? The Lord sent the angels, he blinded and deafened the guards. Opened the door, brought out the apostles, and then shut the door back and left the door locked. And then he opened the eyes and the ears of the judge, of the guards. So they didn't know anything had happened. Meanwhile, the people they were supposed to be looking for and looking after were already in the temple preaching. Can you imagine that? See what God, you know, we're dealing with a God. This is God. What is God saying? He's just saying, I'm in control. I'm in total control. These guys, they can't touch you if you're in his will, if you're an apostle, if you're a messenger, if you're a servant, if you're a son or a daughter, or if you're his child. They can't touch you. Now, they're going to try. But if you are willing, and you will be in Jesus' name, to stay in my perfect will, to stay where I want you to be, to be what I want you to be, to have a pure heart, amen, or a heart that is practicing purity, God will meet you. God will not allow anything to touch you. No weapon. That's what he said. He says, I'm the one that created the ways to destroy. I'm the one that brings forth the creator that destroys. I'm in control of the destroyer. So I say, no weapon formed or fashioned against you shall prosper. Every tongue, like the tongues of these people, Sanhedrin, the rising against you, I will condemn. This is your heritage as my servant. And your righteousness is of me. So let them come and talk with me. So when the devil comes bothering, he says, please, go and talk to God. I am his servant. My righteousness is of God. No problem. That's not your business. Hey! And God will take it up. He says, when your mother and your father leave you, I will take you up. Folks, we have a sure word. We're not just floating around in space or floating around in earth here. There's a God who, Bible says, your names are written upon the palms of his hands. He knows everything. He sees everything. He knows who you are. He knows what you're going through. He has not forsaken you, and he will never forsake you until he fulfills his purpose in you. Amen. I know what I'm saying. Maybe some people need this morning. Amen. I trust the Lord will bring it to you in a way that we'll be able to use. So these guys, they just walked out of prison and they went to the temple and they were preaching. Meanwhile, they thought that the apostles were still there. So they said, go and bring them. We want to judge them. We've got all the legal, you know, the court of justice, whatever. The Sanhedrin, they all came together. And then they saw that the place was totally empty. God had delivered them. And God will deliver you too. So this is what we're saying. God is doing all these things. You're going to have tribulation. As first fruits of pioneers. But every tribulation, God will meet you. God will deliver you out in Jesus' name. Amen? And we should not be afraid, though. They will come. This is what, let me finish with this. They will come against us. Just like they came against the apostles. What were the apostles doing? They were healing people. They were preaching the word of God. They were giving witness with power, signs, and wonders in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they were getting people born again. What's bad about that? But you see, the problem is really, and it's really a financial issue. It's money. It's money. Kudi, ego. These people saw that, our market is going low. Everybody's believing on them. We need to do something, like the high priest said. So they won't come and take away our place and our nation. So he said, let's come against them. And they're going to come against us too, because when someone like Enoch or Abigail start to heal people or start to deliver, just lay hands upon the sick and they recover. I say healing is what the children will be dealing out. healings the children's bread. Then all these charlatans who say you must sow into the man of God to get your healing, and those who merchandise the gospel, they're not all of anointing. We'll still be using olive oil, but the market will crash. And we don't need more for. They're supporting the market. So they will come. They will come and try and, you know, against you. Like they came against Paul. He said, you know, that, you know, this Paul, preaching God, we all know that this is Diana. There was a God. Great Diana of the Ephesians. By this we have our trade, we have our craft. That's, it was just money. Our livelihood. Yes. When the livelihood is taught, they will come. They will bring, and it will be the religious order. So as you are rising as the first fruit, be prepared. They will welcome initially, but when they see that you are taking their market away, they're going to come. And they're going to try and use their religious whatever to overcome. But God will deliver us in Jesus' name. Be ready, folks. So first fruit pioneers, Jesus Christ, same thing, Apostle Paul. First fruit from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, same thing happened. Amen. So they were trying to shut them. We will not be afraid. That says, we will not be afraid. No, 10,000s of people set themselves against this roundabout. Okay, let's go. Let's finish this up. Now, it says, now this is what the injunction God gave them. Go back to Acts chapter 5, verse 20. And I will close there. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord. He says, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life or this way of life. What do we say? It reminds me of the words when all the people left the Lord Jesus when he was in ministry in John chapter 6 somewhere. When he was ministering, he was talking about eat my flesh and drink my blood and so on and so forth. And I said, this is a hard saying, you know, who can hear it? These were the words that the Lord was preaching, the words of this life. And many of the disciples, Bible says, many of them left. They could no longer walk. Say, who can hear this word? And Lord Jesus turned to the disciples and said, will you also go away? Thank God for Peter. Always first to answer. Said, Lord, go where? Say, you have the words of eternal life. And these are the words of eternal life that the apostles were being asked to preach. What happened? Jesus, the Lord Jesus was committing that word to the apostles all throughout the time he was here in ministry. And especially in particular, during those 40 days of ministry on the earth after his resurrection, was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, which of course includes the word of life. Amen? That word was committed to the apostles. He was saying, now I'm not going to let you remain in prison. Your purpose is to take this word of life that I've given to you, committed to you, and go and preach them to the people and spare not anything. Say all. Every counsel concerning the issue of life. If you look at it in some of the translations in the Amplified for Life, it's in capital L. This verse where it says all the words of this life is in capital, which means talking about divinity, like I said earlier. So this was the word that Satan was trying to use the Sanhedrin to shut down. But like Daddy Oli has said the word of God cannot be bound. You can't bind the word of God because it is the word of God. Amen? And so this is it. Now, this word of the kingdom, this word of life, has been, this is how it comes down to us in this place, has been committed to you and I also. Every one of us here. If you've been here for a year or more, that word is being committed unto you. You're being taught the word of the kingdom. Amen? It's being committed to each one of us. What we have to do with it, first of all, we receive it. Amen? Say receive. Believe. Do. We work it out. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We do, we work it out in our lives, we master it. And there's nothing of that word that anyone here cannot master. It's not difficult. Use the life of God, replenish it, pray in the Spirit, use the blood and the word and the Spirit to perfect holiness. And as you do that, that word is being built inside you. And what happens is that God, having committed that to you now, will now require at one level or the other. Just yesterday, I was in a place, I was talking to people. And there was an opportunity to minister. I couldn't say everything, of course, but at the level that they were able to bear, I spoke to them about the word of this life. It should be in you. It should be something that, you know, the Bible says, you know, that you should be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you, or the reason why you are who you are, or something like that. You know, the essence is that that word should be in us 24/7. So whenever there's an opportunity to share it, God opens up a door, you just lay it down. You don't have to beat them over the head, but you just lay it down. There's something a little bit more there than what you are seeing. It happened to me when I was a young Christian. I started going to a point where, isn't there more? You just go to church, you wave, you clap, you dance, and that's it. There should be something else. And then God started to, you know, open these things up. Amen? What we say is that each one of us here has been committed, has this word committed. Give me 2 Timothy chapter 2. Help me, Lord. I'll close in a few minutes. 1 or 2 minutes. 2 Timothy chapter 2, quickly. Talking about speaking all the words of this life. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Timothy. Look what it says. Glory to God. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Why? Now this is why. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same." What thing is that? The word of life. This word of the kingdom. That says, "The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Verse 3 says, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ." What did we say? God commits that word to us. And then we are now to imbibe it. We are to walk it out. That's why you need hardness. Amen? You're a soldier. You fight the good fight of faith. You lay hold upon eternal life. You master. You make it part of you. And then you now commit it to other people. As the Lord gives you the opportunity, you commit it to that. Every time Pastor comes here and speaks, he's committing the word that God has put in his heart, that he has built in his heart, in his innermost being. Every time he speaks from that wellspring. And as he speaks, life goes forth. As he speaks, life goes forth. As he speaks, life goes forth. And guess what? It begins to do work inside you and I also. Taking you from where you are, where God wants you to be. Enlighten your understanding concerning the principles of the Christ life. Enlighten your understanding concerning the wisdom of God. Enlighten your understanding concerning the kingdom of God. And enlighten your understanding concerning the coming of the Lord back to his church. All these marvelous things that he's preaching for. Yes! God is not just speaking into the air. He's committed into you. He's imparting it to your spirit and my spirit. So that one day, we too will impart it to others. This is the mindset we should have. And Bible says that we are supposed to be, says we are giving made stewards of the mystery of the gospel. And we are to be faithful in doing exactly this. This life is a pattern of discipline. Amen? Only one person said amen. Okay. Don't worry, discipline is good. Bible says the grace is sufficient. It was sufficient for Paul. It will attract the messenger of Satan. Because he wants to expunge that word. But what did Paul say? He says, "I besought the Lord thrice," but God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." He was shipwrecked, he was stoned, he was beaten, he was left for dead. You haven't gone through that, though. That's why he wrote that word. He said, you need to endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Because this word comes with persecution. But thanks be to God. He says, "In the world you have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And as you live this life, as you walk this walk of the kingdom, God will overcome every obstacle in your way by his grace. And you will stand and you will speak to others all the words of this life. Because God will loose you from every prison, every shackle of Satan. That word will not return void in your life. In Jesus' name. Hope we got something out of us today. Let's speak to the Lord now. Thank you, Lord. Go to speak all the words. Leave nothing out. A life of discipline, prayer, and the Spirit. Self-denial to do the will of God. Study and reading the Word. Summarize. Seek first the kingdom of God. Daily. Bible says, take up your cross daily. And as we do all this, God is working a work in us and through us. In us and through us. To make us like God so we can speak the words of life to others and impart Him unto others. Hallelujah. What a privilege we have. Follow the example of the fathers. Give our lives to honor Him. Yes, Lord. This is my heart's desire to honor you. Raise a hand to the Lord in submission. Put a hand upon our hearts. Give our hearts to the Lord afresh today. Say, Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, I praise you. Lord Holy Spirit, I thank you. Say, Father, we confess our sins. And so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name we have life. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to me this morning. Come to remind me about the awesome power and the glory that is about to be released upon your church through the Spirit without measure. Thank you, Lord, because this release will cause in my life and in your church the fear of the Lord to return with great power, glory, and signs and wonders. I thank you for you help me daily as an act of my will to choose to fear God, to humble myself, to seek your face and pray, submitting to your will, even when I don't feel like it, especially in prayer, knowing the certainty of your judgment if I disobey, and yet the security of your mercy I will be. I will humble myself, Lord. I also ask you help me, Lord God, so that no occasion of flesh, no occasion of the flesh, no offense, no hypocrisy, no lie, no stumbling block or besetting sin will hinder me from the fullness, participating fully in your glory in this day of the release of the power of the Spirit without measure. I thank you for mercy to stand and to release and apply the blood of the Lord. Use the word, the blood, and the Spirit to perfect holiness. I thank you for this word of life you have committed unto me. I say, Lord, by your mercy and by your grace, Lord, I will stand in this day in the temple and I will deliver to other men this word of this life, causing, Lord God, the word that you have committed unto me to go from me and through me to impart an impact upon the lives of others. Lord, even as I also have been impacted and imparted with the same, I will be a faithful witness, a faithful steward of this word. And I will endure hardness to see your kingdom come and your will to be done, firstly in my life and then through me in the lives of others, by your mercy and by your grace. In Jesus' name. Let's pray in tongues. Rizim baraka tu kleke soke ke. Rizim biraba batu friyanaka. Rebe sople kabara. Mele soro kuta kasuke. Rembe li biraba kakaru. Rembe na matele surumi ya bakaru. Rembe li biraba kasadi. Andelo shalomon bara malika. Halamari bakara ma bari lenge. Rembe sarambakuru. Rembe na masare sara. Father mine zombe li lika. Rembe shalomon kakatilamo. Melo makasa. Hale sekatura. Rakele minamo. Rakele Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, we give you praise. Lord Holy Spirit, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In Jesus' name.